Airbags deploy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In this economic fallout, the auto industry has been teetering, about to crash into the proverbial financial telephone pole, or cushioned by a force that could at least soften the blow. It's looking like today could be D-Day, as in decision day, about what the Bush administration plans to do to help beleaguered car makers. We're joined now by Elisa Roth in New York. Elisa, what are you hearing?
The most likely scenario sounds like the government will let the automakers tap the Treasury Department's rescue funds to get a couple of bridge loans. But in exchange, the government's going to demand some really tough concessions designed to make both Chrysler and GM into more sustainable companies for the long term.
But this isn't an all fix, right? We also have bankruptcy options on the table as well.
Yes, there's been some talk that the White House was going to suggest a so-called managed bankruptcy. So it's essentially a planned bankruptcy rather than waking up one morning and filing for Chapter 11. It's very carefully sorted out. But the automakers say this is just not a possibility. For one thing, they say that car buyers are not going to buy cars from a company that's in bankruptcy. The car makers also say there's no way they're going to get the financing they need to reorganize because there's just not enough credit available, period. And the government has actually since said we're really seeing even a managed bankruptcy as our option of absolute last resort.
And you know, Elisa, the Detroit Three aren't the only ones in trouble. We've got problems all around the world, right?
That's true. The big news today is coming out of Japan. Japanese media is reporting that Toyota could have major losses for the first time in more than 70 years. And so that company is expected to issue a profit warning coming Monday. Meanwhile, Honda this week also posted a profit warning. That's the third time it's done that this year. And the CEO keeps saying as recently as today that he's very, very concerned about the exchange rate because the strong yen means that it's very hard for Honda to make any money.
Lots to mull over. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us in New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, all this talk of an abysmal global auto industry isn't helping world markets. Asian markets were down. Hong Kong lost more than 2%. The Nikkei dropped nearly 1%. Europe's down across the board this morning. Yesterday, the Dow lost 2.5%. General Electric shares tumbled. Standard & Poor's said there's a chance it'll lower GE's credit rating from AAA in the next couple of years. The S&P 500 fell by more than 2%. NASDAQ dropped less than 2%. Troubled investment bank Credit Suisse has an idea for compensating its bankers. Just in time for Christmas, it's the toxic bonus. From London, Stephen Beard explains.
Credit Suisse bankers will have their bonuses linked to some of the risky assets they bought for the bank. We're talking mortgage-backed securities and leveraged loans, assets which they cannot now put a price on, let alone sell. Under the new bonus package, payouts will depend on whether these assets ever generate a profit. Such products help trigger the credit crunch, and they led to Credit Suisse alone writing off billions of dollars. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investments says the toxic bonus is a brilliant idea.
On the basis that people should be responsible for what they're selling. And this is almost a financial version of the old medieval punishment of putting people in the stocks and throwing old fruit and vegetables at them.
Credit Suisse bankers are not fans of the plan, but they're in no position to complain. The bank is cutting more than 5,000 jobs in the new year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
SiriusXM says its workforce in 2008 will drop by 22%. Electronics giant Panasonic will buy Sanyo for $9 billion in that deal. And MillerCoors says it's taking the jolt out of its Sparks beer. Critics say caffeine and alcohol, not such a great combo.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Given the Bernard Madoff scandal this week, the word Ponzi has been used over and over. Ponzi. Sounds like a character from Happy Days, right? Or is that Potsy and Fonzie? Anyway, Ponzi was a real person, and his scheme is the theme of today's Marketplace Decoder. Here's Mitchell Hartman with the Ponzi Primer.
We'll get to Mr. Ponzi in a second, but first, the Ponzi scheme. It's a bit like alchemy. The financial wizard offers to take your gold, your money, and turn it into more money. He claims to do this by secret and esoteric methods, currency arbitrage, it might be called, or high-yield hedges. And he promises to work his magic at a startling rate, a guaranteed return of perhaps 20% each month, like clockwork.
If it's too good to be true, you're right, it is.
Rich Dipple teaches accounting at Webster University in St. Louis.
When you're investing, there's ups and downs, but somebody who just seems like is a genius, again and again and again, it's like, hey, is there a problem here?
There is a problem. In a Ponzi scheme, few, if any, assets are actually bought with your money. And there's no real return on investment, even though the operator may send you fictitious financial statements on fancy stationery, showing your investment account growing quarter after quarter.
Instead of investing your money, he or she takes it and then solicits more customers and then basically takes the new money coming in and pays the existing investors.
A Ponzi scheme needs ever more investors to pay off the earlier participants and keep things afloat. Eventually, there's not enough new money coming in to pay back what was initially invested or to keep delivering the huge returns that have been promised. And what happens then?
Eventually it implodes or they take off to South American country or something.
Or, like Bernie Madoff, end up wearing an ankle bracelet and confined to his $7 million Manhattan apartment pending trial. And why did anyone fall for this latest Ponzi scheme? Well, greed, for one thing. The returns were apparently steady and reliable, even if conjured up out of thin air. And the original schemer? Charles Ponzi was an Italian immigrant who, in the early 1920s, offered astronomical returns through a strategy he dubbed international postage arbitrage. His entire portfolio turned out to be $30 worth of postal coupons. Ponzi went to prison. The millions that had been invested disappeared into his magic cauldron of financial fraud. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There's more about Ponzi, the numbers, all the business news of the day at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
American Public Media.